Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now, let's go inside the wandering mind of a coach-killing, knee-jerking, nuclear overreactor named Ben Rogers, a.k.a. the Jerry Whisperer. It's time for Now Trending in Ben.
All right, I've been desperately searching for some Rangers positivity. As you know, things are bleak right now. This is a reboot, rebuild. There's not a lot to be excited about right now, and it's just a tough time.
It's all right, man. We'll get through this together.
Now, part of that is it's by design that way. It's professional sports is designed to where it's cyclical. It's very difficult to sustain being good. It's very difficult to stay on top. And the Rangers, for 8 to 10 years, were one of the best teams in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Now, they got to the World Series twice. They just didn't quite get that last out.
Yep.
But they did punch through and get there twice, which is amazing. And, you know, I'm a diehard Ranger fan for my entire life. So, for me, I grew up wearing Jeff Burrow's jersey and, you know, like wanting to talk Rangers baseball with my dad all the time. It was kind of the thing we had most in common, being Rangers fans. And so I've lived through dire times. That's why I love what they've done.
It's been a great run, dude.
It's been a great run. But I see a lot of people who are really unhappy with where they are. And I get it, because you're not supposed to be happy about being terrible. But I think overall perspective helps. And I think it was funny. I was getting into it with a guy last night, and he was like, look, you know, the Rangers need pressure. The front office and ownership, they need pressure. You need to talk about how displeased you are, because that is going to put pressure on them to make change. And I'm like, man, I don't think that's the case here. I think this is just the natural path of sports and the how difficult it is to sustain success. I think that's more what this is. Because, you know, I don't know that, you know, once you've tried to contend for so very long and you've made all these deals at the deadline to acquire talent to go for it, eventually that's going to catch up with you. And I think that's what's caught up. Have there been some mistakes? Absolutely. They've had some horrendous drafts. They've missed on some guys. Some of their young nucleus guys have not progressed as fast as you'd like. And that kind of explains why they are where they are. But I don't know that this is a storm the castle with pitchforks thing. So I think being a homer is terrible. And I also think demanding contention into perpetuity is terrible.
Right.
I think either. I'm irate because you're not awesome forever.
Right.
Fire everybody. You didn't win the championship forever every year. It's like, well, I don't know. For me, it's hard to get too worked up over this because it was so good for so long.
I got bad news for your average sports fan. Because of the way TV deals are structured and profit sharing and all that, the idea of, quote-unquote, putting pressure on the owner by showing your displeasure and you're not going to make as much money and all that, man, that's why the main reason 10 to 12 teams in Major League Baseball were tanking is because it didn't make sense for those guys to spend an extra $30 to $40 million on payroll when they were just going to make more money the other way. If you want to be mad, go be mad at TV networks. Go boycott them. The way the thing is structured, owners are making money. They're all going to make money. The guys who spend a ton of money spend money because they're really, really competitive, but it doesn't really make sense to spend a ton of money if you're not going to particularly be that good. You'd rather spend less money and just make more money. It's the way the thing is structured. It has nothing to do with putting pressure on the owners. I guarantee you there's not an owner out there that is interested in losing as a goal. It's just a byproduct of where they are in certain circumstances. It's okay to be critical of decisions and moves the team has made, but on a whole, it's hard to argue with how good the Rangers have been the last 10 years. They've been a really good team.
Yeah, and so I've just been trying to search for a little bit of positivity. And the thing that I've found, and this is talking to as many different people from different organizations, different capacities, is that, you know, the Rangers' last two drafts and the last two international classes are very good. And I can't speak to anything before that because it hasn't been very good.
It's been bad.
But these last two ones have been pretty good. So it's not like I'm saying, hey, everything's great. It's just like, you know, with some patience and over time, I think this thing will turn around. And they've also been drafting a lot of high school players. So, again, that takes some time. But, like, throughout the game, other teams, when they look at the Rangers, they look at their international classes and their last two drafts as being very much above average.
Good.
So that's good. That's a little sliver of positivity. And I also started asking around. I was like, okay, you know, Bassick's really big on Leody Tavares, how he's not doing very well. His numbers aren't very good. So in the minors. And so that got me confused as well because I'm like, wait a second. The world thinks this guy is really, really good. Well, they've been wrong before. And so I wanted to kind of find out, is this a terrible sign? And the people that I talked to were surprised that anybody's doubting Leody Tavares. They're like, really? What is – I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, his average is really low. And they're like, oh. Yeah, no, we're not, you know, he's very highly regarded. And so I thought that was interesting. And it was pointed out to me that Nomar Mazara had a sub-700 OPS in Hickory. Guzman had sub-615. Mm. Elvis Andrus was hitting .244 when they acquired him.
Uh-huh.
So, sure, you'd love it for every guy in your minor league system to just obliterate pitching on his glorious ascension to the top. But just because a guy's stats aren't shining doesn't mean that he suddenly sucks.
Here's what I would equate this to. The reason people are upset or negative towards it. It was for the longest time this idea that, well, if you draft somebody from Duke, he's not going to be a good pro. It's like, what is that based on? It's not based on anything that has anything to Duke. It's based on the guys that, you know, whatever their prospects were. And then suddenly, you know, all that turns around with the Kyrie Irvings and the Jason Tatums, and no one ever says that anymore. I think the biggest problem the Rangers are facing right now is when you have negative outlooks, people tend to dogpile. And so if you go, hey, Leody Tavares has an incredible upside, they go, yeah, you said that about Profar. And I said, yeah, and then look at Gallo. All he's doing is striking out. So what happens is it's a dogpile of negativity. And so what Tavares needs to get up and play well, or you know, Mazara shoots off or something like that, and then suddenly that whole perception changes. You know, for the longest time here in the Metroplex in sports talk, no one wanted to hear you say anything about a minor leaguer because they'd go, well, DVD, right? Remember that? Wasn't that great?
That's the dumbest thing ever.
No, but don't you remember DVD? Don't you remember that? Everything sucks. Don't ever talk about a minor leaguer. And so it's just what it is it's just a dogpile of not particularly rational or analytical thought. If someone is going, hey, here's why I think Tavares sucks, because bat speed. Like, for example, I was really high on Guzman, you know, and then talking to certain people, they go, well, look, these power numbers don't work for this reason, and they're giving me these reasons as to why I shouldn't be as high on him, right? Or they talk about Mazara, and they go, well, there's certain things athletically with Mazara. That's one thing where you go, hey, I'm looking at this aspect, and I don't think it's going to translate. That's different than going, well, their minor league sucks, so this guy must not be good.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what's happening right now, is it's a wave of negativity because of these other things that didn't work out. They end up infecting the entire outlook.
I'm about to contradict myself here, but in general, generalizing 10s and 20s and 30s of 20-year-olds is a bad idea. Okay, like, again,
right.
A lot of these guys did not play college baseball, okay?
Right.
Like, it's just a bad idea to generalize a big group of players like that at that age. And, like, they've got guys that are really good, would have been really good prospects and are on the way to being that again, maybe, who just got the injury bug.
Yeah.
Like, they've been cursed, and I'm not making excuses. It's got to be better. The development's got to be better, and everyone in the world knows it. But they've also been bitten by the injury bug, and we can't just ignore that. That's a part of it too.
Sure. Absolutely agree. And this isn't there's nothing to see here. It's bad. And
I'm not bullish on the Rangers. I don't see a bright sunshine in the future. I see it a long ways away.
Right. And I think that's incredibly fair. I think it is a long ways away. But that glimmer of sunshine coming through, it's going to be good. And it's like, I don't feel entitled to be a contender every year for 20 straight years because I've been a fan of the Rangers my whole life, and I know that's not how it works, and I know how professional sports works. I mean, this was just an unbelievable stretch of good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
We crushed it, man.
Now,
we crushed it.
To get out of this, though, it's going to take some wheeling and dealing from JD. It's going to take more of what happened yesterday. To turn Jesse Chavez, 34 years old, a one-year deal, into a 22-year-old prospect, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And they need deals like that. And so hopefully that's the first of many dominoes to fall that are coming. So anyways, I just started looking into it a little bit, and I asked somebody who's in the front office of another Major League Baseball team about the Leody Tavares thing, and he was like, hey, if they don't want him, we would absolutely take him. Like, if someone thinks he sucks,
right,
sign us up immediately.
Right.
So the rest of the game doesn't feel that way, which I thought was a tiny glimmer of hope. Now, I want to follow up on something we talked about yesterday with Jesse Holly, and it's regarding shower law.
Uh-oh. This got disgusting quick.
Yeah, it did. And I want to read a tweet from you to you guys that's very important. Loofahs and washcloths often end up being nasty little petri dishes for bacteria, pathogens, and disgusting parasites. Unless you're rigorously cleaning them early and often, you've essentially taken a cesspool cloth and wiped germ-ridden butt juice all over your body.
I agree.
Wait, what scientist said
that? I said that.
Oh, okay.
The loofah is the public pool of washing materials.
It is. But it was based on I did some research on this last night. I did find a scientist who said, lose the loofah, blame it on Legally Blonde, but we've always had a loofah hanging in the shower. The problem, people tend not to clean loofahs or hang on to them past their prime. Usually, the entire lifespan of them is for 2 months, making them a breeding ground for bacteria. A better choice would be a washcloth, which people find easier to remember to clean every single week, or just use your hands. And so the scientists don't see a big difference between cleaning yourself in the shower with your hands or using a washcloth. But either way, if you're going to use a washcloth or a loofah, make sure you're vigorously cleaning it every single week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I use my hands. I ain't worried about it.
You know, I do
bad stuff with my hands, too.
As I get older, I have more of a need to exfoliate my skin.
What does that mean?
Well, you get, basically, your skin just dies constantly. So you have all this dead skin all over your body. So exfoliate is scrubbing it to the point where you remove that dead skin. And so you'll need textured things in order to do that, whether it's a wash rag or, like, for example, in our shower. And, dude, you said the lifespan was 2 months. Man, we have this back scrubber that I was using. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, it started looking bad. Like, we would get rid of it quicker than that because it starts looking bad.
But you're cleaning it every week also?
No. I wasn't cleaning it.
No, they're saying clean it every week and then don't keep it after 2 months.
Just put it in the dishwasher?
Yeah, you can't put this. You can't. It's got bristles. Yeah. On it, you know. But wash rags, you know, we end up using a wash rag, change it out about every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the way to
Towels, we don't, though. We should probably do it every day. We probably do it every 3 or 4 days.
Just use your bare handies.
I just found this to be fascinating because I think Jesse was planning to take a stand against people who just clean themselves with their hands.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, we've uncovered this deep, seedy underbelly of people who are using disgusting, unclean washcloths and loofahs. So while he's trying to be super clean, he's actually washing himself with butt juice.
He's the guy that claims that he can take half deuces. I don't know if we should follow his hygiene. I know he's a germaphobe and does a good job of Lysol.
I'm
the
doo-doo queen.
He's the guy who claimed that he goes to parties and takes half deuces.
I want to talk to an internist that recommends cutting off your poop halfway through and just storing it for later.
That's not the hygiene. That's not my hygiene, President.
Agreed.
Is all I'm saying. Not
Agreed.
Mine.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.